you join me in prayer? Most merciful God, our Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow before Thee in this hour, praising Thy name for Thy creation and for Thy gift of life. Most of all, for the gift of life in Christ. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity that we have to worship. And in this hour of worship, to remember before Thee not only ourselves, but those who sit beside us, those who are not here this morning because of illness, because of other crisis in their lives. For those both here and absent who are burdened, who mourn the loss of loved ones, who are anxious about the health and well-being of loved ones or themselves. And Father, we also remember before Thee those who sit beside us around the world, and pray for every person. Help us, O God, to see every human being as fully a person for whom our Lord Jesus Christ died and for whom He bids us to live. In His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
turn to responsive reading number 87. And join me in reading responsively under the subject of peace on earth. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it in judgment and in justice from henceforth and even forever.
But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth.
They shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters of the sea.
And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. For Christ is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, so making peace.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward
men. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. As Christians, you and I affirm by faith the witness of the New Testament that the long-awaited Prince of Peace has come to the world in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the suffering servant, the Son of God, our Savior and Lord. The Old Testament vision of peace has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He came to make peace between man and God, and between man and man. His way was the way of peace. Conflict led him to the cross, not to the adoption of methods of power and violence. He called blessed the peacemakers. In both the Old and New Testaments, peace in reference to corporate life means primarily wholeness and completeness of persons in relationship. As such, we can see peace as essentially related to Christian love. Love, action that seeks the wholeness and well-being of others, tends to produce peace. The biblical idea of peace is far more than the absence of war, but surely that is an enormously important part of peace. John Macquarie, in his recent slim volume, The Concept of Peace, sees peace as, quote, the most inclusive of Christian virtues. Love transposed into social or global terms, also implying justice as well as love. End of that quotation. Now he further states, one good reason for giving peace the paramount place among the Christian virtues is just the indisputable fact that in the contemporary world, the lives of all people are bound together in an interdependence closer and more evident than has ever been known before. The corporate nature of human existence is daily being impressed upon us. No individual, no group, no nation can contract out of the human family or isolate itself from the rest. The destinies of those who inhabit this closely knit planet are now seen to be as inseparable as the destinies of a group of travelers on a spaceship. It follows then that our ethical thinking must be guided by a conception of a virtue that is corporate or even global in its scope. And such a virtue is peace. End of quotation. The vigorous pursuit of peace deserves a high priority for Christians, both because our Lord, the Prince of Peace, calls us to follow him as peacemakers, and because, as Macquarie states, our present-day situation demands it to an unusual degree. I have been increasingly burdened through the years by my own participation in war and by that of the church. In World War II, I was a teenage boy. I suppose the only thing I could be accountable for was succumbing to the propaganda that made me hate Germans and Japanese. A few years later, armed with an ROTC commission, I served 2 years in the Army. And for 15 and a half months in Korea, I saw firsthand the dehumanizing and senseless nature of war. Out of the Army, I became too wrapped up in other affairs to convert the revulsion I had felt for war into a positive witness for peace. During the Vietnam War, I went through an inner struggle between the thought that my country is wrong to be there, to be involved, and feelings that I must support my government. For the most part, I did nothing. Perhaps the varying degrees of my participation in war and my failure to do all that I can to be a peacemaker are fairly illustrative of much of the church in recent American history. I will not attempt to document the long history of involvement of the church in war. I am concerned about changing myself and the church, for I believe that Jesus Christ calls us unequivocally to follow him as peacemakers. This is an exceedingly complex subject, and I do not want to be simplistic in dealing with it. In fact, I approach it with fear and trembling. You may call the rest of what I have to say half-baked, and if so, it's justified. But I feel compelled this morning to share it with you as far as I've gotten with it. I would like to share with you some things that seem essential if we as Christian Southern Baptists or Southern Baptist Christians are to be the peacemakers that Christ would have us to be. It seems to me that the first essential for each one of us is to let Jesus Christ be Lord as well as Savior of our lives. He cannot share the throne with capitalism, with love of money, love of property, with nationalism. A few months ago, a Canadian by the name of Robert Sinclair dashed off as he was struck by the commiserating of the American people over the Watergate affair and the criticism coming from all angles. Wrote a piece that I'm sure you've heard dozens of times on the radio, What is Right with America? I'm not sure the exact title. I found a lump in my throat, a swelling up inside of me that made me know that I live daily in danger of making an idol of the American way of life. Nationalism has had its day for this country. Nationalism may yet have to have its day for developing countries. But for us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there can be no excuse for making a religion of nationalism. If we will let Jesus Christ be fully Lord of our lives, we may find that we actually have the power to become persons of peace. We will then possibly be able to examine ourselves, stripped of our own inordinate pride of possession, our fears of the loss of property, our fears of hearing the truth about our country. Stripped of these, we may be able to see for the first time our own tendencies toward destruction, our own hostilities, which are ever ready to surface. When I was working on this chapel talk at home yesterday, it was very cold and snowing, and our cat was crying to come in. Ordinarily, I wouldn't let the cat in that time of day. I didn't want to be bothered, but I pitied him because of the weather conditions. He just doesn't like snow. I was running behind, as usual, in preparation for the chapel talk, and I just didn't have time to fool with that cat. I fixed a place for it on the floor, and I said, "You stay right there." Well, the cat stayed right there until the telephone rang and scared him, and he scooted off to another room. I got mad at the cat. I ran him down and scared him out from under the bed. He came cowering back to the room. I tried to get him to lie down again. He wasn't quite ready to settle down. I started to catch the cat again. He ran out of the room. By the time I got him back in again, I shut all the doors so he couldn't run out of the room. And I found myself stalking that cat like some kind of an animal. And seeing him look up at me with a pathetic whine, I saw myself for the kind of man of peace I am. We have constantly to bring our hostilities, our destructive tendencies to the cross of Jesus Christ, I believe. Perhaps it would help us if we prayed daily the prayer that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. O Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is resentment, let me put forgiveness. Where there is discord, let me put unity. Where there is doubt, let me put faith. Where there is error, let me put truth. Where there is despair, let me bring happiness. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Where there is darkness, let me bring light. With Jesus Christ given the ultimate allegiance of our lives, truly Lord, and as we ever struggle to become persons of peace, then I think Jesus Christ is calling us to wage peace through a prophetic voice and through action. The problem we have, in addition to just fighting the tendency that's always been in the church, in America at least, in other places to be sure, to join forces with the government to become a sort of civil religion, is that we are quickly shouted down by those that say, you really don't know what you're talking about. You're not an expert on peace. Leave that to the diplomats. You're not an expert on poverty, on third world problems. Leave that to people who know what they're doing. I don't think we have to be experts to be able to call attention to plain facts. There can be no question that these figures are not precisely up to the minute, but that there are some 700 million illiterates in the third world, that there are 390 million persons in that world who live dangerously close to starvation, 1,300,000,000 who suffer from malnutrition, that 1/4 of the world population consumes more than 3/4 of the global production, that the United States alone, with only 6% of the Earth's people, consumes 40%, maybe more now. For every dollar invested in Latin America by wealthy governments and multinational corporations, $4 are taken out in repayments and profits. Now, what kind of a real investment is that in uplifting people? Militarism can be seen on every hand, and it doesn't make for peace. We just need to examine a few facts to see that war has been utterly bankrupt as a maker of peace. But we spend most of our national resources on armaments, and we live dangerously close to the brink of war every day. Russell Baker of the New York Times said, being number one, we were compelled to spend enormous sums to acquire the wherewithal to blow everybody, including ourselves, to kingdom come. This is the first thing for which our money is earmarked even now. Only after we have paid for our self-destruction do we get around to seeing if anything is left for the making of life more tolerable. I know that to be a great power is, by definition, to be terrifyingly destructive. Wouldn't life be better if America were only, say, number 7 or 8 or maybe 15? Could we take that? If our ultimate allegiance is to Jesus Christ, just how important is it to us that America be number 1? And what can we do positively by way of action, other than just to sound a prophetic note in the church and wherever we have a chance? We can become reconcilers in our day-to-day relationship. That's a step toward peace. We can find many organizations that are working for peace, and some of them have decent human beings, not pinkos. That is not to say they're not decent human beings, but so often we've been steered away from any involvement in any peace organization by the threat that, you know, this is a communist front organization, that sort of thing. The library is full of information that can lead you to ways to find effective involvement in a peace effort. There are two seminaries in this country, Mennonite seminaries, that grant master's degrees in peace studies. How about one course in peace? How to wage peace in a Southern Baptist seminary? Finally, it seems to me it all boils down to the words of our hymn we sang earlier. We have a story to tell to the nations. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. How can you tell it with blood on your hands? Let us pray. Well, God our Father, forgive us. Convict us of our need to be aligned with the forces that make for peace in this world.